Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
Well, it's a real privilege to have Pastor Esteban San Martin with us this morning, not a stranger to our church, part of the family. And yeah, for those that don't know him, he pastors a church called Power Church in Brisbane, Queensland, in sunny Queensland. It's a great church, a great family. He's also part of the exec of the CCA, the movement that we are part of. He's a great minister of the Word of God, and we're always challenged when he ministers. And I know that God is going to speak to us today. So would you give him a big warm welcome as he comes to minister the Word today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. God bless you this morning. Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Come on, are we happy to be in church this morning?
Yes.
What a privilege we have in this nation to be able to come out to church freely. Amen. No one came to church this morning wondering if they were going to be stopped and asked, where are you going? We have a freedom to worship Jesus in this nation. Amen.
Amen.
And let's take full, you know, opportunity and take it to the best of our ability and worship God to the best of our ability. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so blessed to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Joe. Such a privilege. Always, it's my honor to be able to share the Word of God here in this lovely church. I've been with the young people over the weekend, and I haven't preached to teenagers for a long time, but they were a good crowd, praise God. Can I hear all the teenagers not here? They're in the second service, all right. Okay, the recycled teenagers. Come on, the recycled teenagers, yeah? we had a great time, and we shared the Word of God. On Friday night, I shared a message which was entitled, "Just because you are young does not mean God cannot use you." And I spoke to them about the life of David, that age doesn't matter to God. Amen? Then yesterday morning, I spoke about the young man, Eutychus, who was in the service where Paul was preaching, and he was sitting on a window and he fell asleep in church, and he cracked his head and he died in church. So you don't want to fall asleep in church, amen? You crack your head, and I'm not the Apostle Paul, amen? And we spoke about that you can be in the presence of God and the presence of God not be in you. You can be in the presence of God and the presence of God not affect you. And so we spoke about that. And then last night, we preached about the upper room makeover. So we spoke about the makeover that the disciples had in the upper room. And we had a great time with the young people, and I was so blessed to share with them. Amen. I've got my daughter here. I don't know where she is. She's in the balcony. Where are you? There she is. You never sit at the back, praise God. She's taking full opportunity to sit wherever she wants today. In our church, she plays the keyboard. She's part of the praise and worship team. She gets to church really early and finishes off the last one. And I'm so blessed to have Jerrica here with me this weekend. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to read verse 11. One verse. And we're going to share the Word of God this morning just for a few minutes. You know, with my wife, we have a podcast that we bring out every week. It's called a Faith Builder Podcast, and we do it mainly so that our church can have a midweek Bible study, and it's obviously open to the broader community. Many people do listen to it. We put it on our church Facebook page, and the last podcast that I did when we were just preparing for it, as I was studying and just going over the notes, just very subtly the Lord brought this church on my mind. My mind was taken to this church here in Adelaide and Pastor Joe. And I felt in my spirit a connection between what I was preparing for that podcast and what I should minister on this morning. And I was just meditating on it and praying over it and asking God to confirm it. And I believe that God has a message for this church today. And if you open up your heart, God will speak to you. Amen. And it's talking about purpose and vision brings opposition. Purpose and vision, transition, always brings opposition. Amen. If you don't want trouble, in your faith life, just do nothing. If you want the devil to leave you alone, he'll leave you alone if you do nothing. But if you want to be someone that God is going to use, and if you want to advance, and if you want to build for God, and you want to fulfill God's calling on your life, and you want to go after vision, and you want to go after purpose, there will be opposition. It's just part and parcel of the Christian life. And the quicker we understand that, the less frustrating things are going to be in our Christian life. See, we think in this 21st century modern Christianity that the faith life is a life that is void of troubles, void of opposition, void of enemies. And the truth is, the faith life will always be accompanied by problems. We'll always have opposition attached to it. Now, if we read verse 11 of Luke chapter 6, look what it says there. Now, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but Jesus has just healed a man in a synagogue who had a withered hand. This man had a withered hand, and Jesus saw him, and the Pharisees and the scribes are in the synagogue watching him like he's about to do something so bad, like he's about to do something so evil. They're watching to see if he's going to heal this man. And that was Jesus' purpose. That's why Jesus was here, to heal and to deliver, amen, to raise the dead. Obviously, his purpose was to go to the cross, but on his journey, he was going to do that which was good, amen? And so he heals this man. Amazing. Amazing. He heals a man that had a withered hand. He says to him in verse 6, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched forth his hand, and he was healed immediately. An amazing miracle. Yeah. Wouldn't you think? And then it says this in verse 11. And they, the scribes and the Pharisees, were filled with madness, and they communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Wow. The scribes and the Pharisees were filled. Everybody say filled. They were filled with madness. That word madness, in the original, we translate it into English, and it literally means they were filled with rage, indignation, anger, and wrath. And they came together, they communed to see how they could stop Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Full of anger, full of rage, because Jesus had just healed someone. That's just like the devil, who is full of rage, full of anger, full of indignation whenever we are fulfilling our purpose. You know, today more than ever before, there is what the book of Daniel calls the wearing out of the saints. There's an all-out assault against Christians today. There is an all-out assault against the church of God today. The devil is mad. The devil is angry. He is full of rage and indignation against the church, against the believer, against the man and the woman of God that says, I'm going to live my life sold out unto God. Hallelujah. He's angry. Can you shout amen, church? And the enemy communes and comes together to see, how can I stop you? How can I stop your vision? How can I stop your purpose? How can I stop what God has called you to do in this nation, in this earth, in this city? It's interesting to me that all Jesus had done was heal a man. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't beat his wife. He didn't have a wife, okay. He didn't beat anyone, but the enemy was angry and indignant, full of rage. How can we stop Jesus? Why? For fulfilling his purpose, fulfilling his calling and his ministry, his opposers were filled with madness, and they came together to see, how can we destroy Jesus? Whenever you are doing something for God, whenever you are fulfilling purpose and vision, whenever you're in transition towards your destiny, there will always be haters. There will always be those that will not rejoice with what God is doing in your life. But they will be filled with madness. They will be filled with indignation. How dare you go after God? How dare you be used by God? How dare you heal the sick? How dare you praise God and worship God? How dare you think that God can use you and you can transition into the greater heights that He has for you? They will commune to see how you can be destroyed and how your influence can be stopped. Like I said before, church, if you don't want trouble, just do nothing. It's amazing that how the devil gets all angry and all upset. And all we're doing is want to live for Jesus. We just want to preach the gospel. We want to serve our community. I just want to fulfill vision and I want to fulfill God's call on my life. Why is the devil so angry? I just received Jesus into my heart and I made a commitment that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to follow God. I'm committed to His call. And immediately all hell breaks loose. The devil is filled with wrath and indignation. Like, how dare you? And then all these things begin to happen in our life. There's opposition that comes against us. Church, the faith life is not talk. The faith life is not just words. The faith life is action. Can you shout amen? Amen. And the faith life, listen to this, is validated and proved not in the good times, not in the happy times, but in the middle of a battle and in the middle of a storm and when all hell breaks loose against us. Our faith is validated in those moments and we will see if we are all talk or we are action. The faith life is not just a life we live. Listen to this. It's also a battle we fight. The faith life is not just a life that we live. The faith life is a battle that we fight. Opposition and resistance always accompanies God-given vision. Let me say that again. Opposition and resistance always accompanies God-given vision. Put this in your mind or write this down. Just because God gives you a vision, a dream, or a purpose does not mean the devil will not try to stop it from happening. Just because God gives you a dream, just because God gives you a vision, just because God gives you a promise does not mean the devil is just going to lay down and let it come to pass in your life. Actually, in my experience, and as I read the Bible and as I read biographies of men and women of God, it's actually an indicator when enemies and opposition comes against us that we are on the faith path. It's like an oxymoron, isn't it? I'm living for God, I'm committed to God, and there's all this opposition, and there's all these battles, and the devil's mad, and he's full of rage, and he's throwing everything he can at me. But it's actually an indicator I'm on the right path and that I'm doing something of significance. Hallelujah. I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Come on, church. I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul is in a city called Ephesus, and he said in verse 8, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. A great door has opened for me, and there are many adversaries. Do you know the Apostle Paul had spent years sowing seed in the city of Ephesus? He had spent years preaching in Ephesus, with apparent lack of success. He would go back into Ephesus, he would preach, he would get people together, preach the gospel, share the good news, lay his hands on the sick, and then he would depart to another city. Just, there was always a sense of resistance in Ephesus. But all the seeds that he had sown over those years, now was beginning to produce fruit, and he discerned that something changed in Ephesus, and he says, I'm going to stay in Ephesus because a great and effective door has opened unto me. And then he says, but there are many adversaries. Do you notice that the great door that God opens also brings great adversary? The great opportunities that God gives to us also brings great opposition. That word great door is actually the word in the Greek mega. A mega door has opened unto me. A great opportunity has come. There's a space, there's an opportunity here in Ephesus. I feel like God's getting ready to do something great, like God's getting ready to do something powerful, like all the seeds that I've sown in Ephesus are about to produce a harvest, and I'm going to stay here because the great door has opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. Now, that word adversaries in the Greek, again, I'm speaking a little bit of Greek this morning, is antikemai. Everybody say antikemai. Praise God. Now, that word is a compound of the words anti, one, kemani, and the word anti means against, and the word kemani means to lie as with something that's lying around. So what the Apostle Paul is saying with these two words coming together, the idea is that hostile forces that are standing in opposition to someone. These forces are literally lying around, pitted against a common foe and just waiting for the opportunity to strike. These sneaky, sinister powers lie in wait to drive away and attack, amen, what another one is about to go into. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, a great and effective door has opened unto me. And along with that great and effective door, there are many adversaries. And these adversaries are lying around. They're lying in wait to pounce, to come against what God wants to do in that new season. Now, if you remember the Nehemiah, when he went to build the wall, do you notice that in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah, he is serving the king of Babylon as the cupbearer of the wine. Everything was fine in his life. He had no adversaries. He had no battles. He had no opposition. He had a comfortable life. He had a comfortable life in the palace of the king, serving the king wine. No problems. But he hears that the walls of Jerusalem have been burnt to the ground, and something stirs up on the inside of him. And he says, I've got to go back to Jerusalem. I've got to go and get my brothers together, and we've got to build the wall. So now he's about to build. He's about to do something of significance. He's got vision. We want to build this wall. And if you read the book of Nehemiah, immediately as he arrives on the scene to gather the people of Israel together to build this wall, as soon as he has vision and purpose and there's this transition happening in his life, guess what happens? Many adversaries come out. Sanballat, Geshem, Tobias, that came against him, and they were lying around. They were coming against Nehemiah to try to stop his purpose, to try to discourage him. See, while he's in the palace, everything's fine. This is cool. Being a child of God is beautiful. There's no problems. There's no opposition. Like someone said to me once, there was a pastor. He said to me, "I have no problems in my church." I said, "You're not doing anything either." Like he was like puffing his chest out, and you know, we had just been in a little, you know, pastor's meeting, and the lead coordinator got every pastor to talk, and every pastor was like, "Oh, I'm battling. There's a battle in my marriage, there's a battle with my children, the battle in the church," and I was a young pastor, and my eyes are getting this big as all these pastors that were in their 50s and 60s and 70s are talking about how beautiful the ministry is and how hard and had the battles. And there was one pastor said, "I've got no problems in my church." I've got no problems in my ministry. I thought, you ain't doing anything either. Because the moment you're doing something of significance, the moment you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness, hallelujah, the enemy comes out. The enemy's lying around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The moment that Nehemiah came on the scene and said, we're going to build this wall. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to erect the wall around this city. Hallelujah. The enemies and the adversaries came out of the woodworks to try to stop his purpose. And if you read, I've got it here, if you read in Nehemiah chapter 4, talking about these enemies that lie around whenever a great door is being opened, in chapter 4, look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. Are we here this morning, church? Hallelujah. Yeah. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth. Now that's an old King James Version word just for he was angry. He was very angry. He was huffing and puffing. And he took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. And then if you go to verse 11, verse 10, and verse 9, the whole chapter is so good. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. And we set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither shall they see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. See, the opposition of the enemy against us and against you, against your faith life, is so that your work ceases and his work begins. See, the purpose of distractions and the purpose of opposition is to stop your purpose. And it's interesting to me, church, if you read that carefully, there was much rubbish and the adversaries were coming. Listen to this. They were coming through the rubbish. And Nehemiah said, we need to clean the rubbish because our enemies are coming through the rubbish. The enemy comes through the rubbish. The enemy doesn't play nice. The enemy doesn't play, you know, it's not a picnic for him. He comes through the rubbish. He throws rubbish at us. He throws taunts at us. He lies. He's a deceiver. The devil is a liar. Church, the devil is a liar. But again, I say to you this morning, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He'll throw at you a sickness. He'll throw at you problems in your marriage. He'll throw at you gossips and murmurings and he'll outright lie. He'll just outright lie. He'll make something up if he has to. There'll be a problem at work. There'll be a problem in your finances. And the enemy comes and he tries to stop what we are building. He tries to stop our vision and our purpose and our transition. But I'm here this morning to say that if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can be against us? I love what it says there in verse 19. And Nehemiah said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort there unto us. Our God shall fight for us. You know, when we're facing opposition, we need to be close to the right people. When we're facing opposition, we need to get around the faith people. The church, whenever the church is facing opposition because of the vision, because of the calling, because of the purpose, because of the threat that you are to the kingdom of darkness, the church needs to be united. The church needs to come together. The families need to come together. Can you shout amen, church? Amen. See, Nehemiah, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost coming on me. Praise God. Nehemiah, he observed something. He observed something. He observed the enemies attacking. He observed the adversaries coming strong. They didn't stop. It was chapter after chapter after chapter. All because this man had a vision. He could have stayed in Babylon. He could have stayed comfortable. Some of you are saying, man, ever since I started going to church, my everything's turning out sour. There's a battle for my life. Ever since I got onto that ministry department, it's like all hell breaking loose. And the temptation is to want to throw in the towel. But I want to tell you this morning, church, keep your eyes on Jesus. Our God will fight for us. Get close to the men and the women of God. Listen, Nehemiah observed the enemy's coming, and he said, and he observed his congregation. He observed the people of Israel that were on the wall, and he saw something. They were separated. So there's one here. Come here, brother. Come up here. Who else can we call? I need another four people. Where's the young people in the second service? All right. Come here, sister. Sister, you come. Yeah, come quickly. All right. Who else? Brother, can you come? Are you all right? Come up here. One more. Stand right off the stage. No, right there. Then you stand here, sister. All right, right there in the middle. And you stay right there, brother. And then this brother came up on his own. Praise God. Give him a big clap. Praise God. So right there. So Nehemiah sees they're separated. He goes, something's not right here. They're separated. And this is what's happening. The enemy was coming through the separation. And so he said, we need to bring them close together. So you come closer together. Lock arms. See, what happens now is the enemy can't come through. They're united. They've locked arms. There's no separation for the enemy to come through. Can you shout amen, church? Praise God. Thank you, guys. See, there's power in unity. There's power when we come together. See, husbands and wives need to be together. Families need to come together. Churches need to come together. More than ever before, like I said at the beginning, there's an all-out assault against the church of God today. There's an all-out assault against the believer today. You know, what we're seeing in the natural, the wars that are about to break out. I was watching the news this morning, the Iran against Israel and what's happening all over the world. What happened yesterday here in Sydney? I mean, that's a manifestation in the natural of what's going on in the spirit. There are men and women of God throwing in the towel. There are people that are giving up on God. There are pastors that are throwing in the towel and saying, I've had enough. Families there's division, there's divorces. I mean, it's just all out assault. It's not something foreign. It's something true. It's something real. It's the fight of faith. And more than ever, we need to be close to the people of God. Amen. We need to be close to the faith men and the faith women of God. It's not a time to separate ourselves. It's not a time to distance ourselves from God's house, from God's word, from the Holy Spirit, from prayer. More than ever, we need to be close to God's house in this time that we live in. Can you shout amen, church? Amen. There are adversaries. There are enemies. The devil uses a few things to come against us. Number one, he uses, I'm just going quickly here through my notes. I've got so much here, but I've got to, let me just say this because I think this will get the devil angry. Nothing provokes opposition and an enemy like favor, blessing, and the prosperity of God on your life. Nothing provokes an enemy. Nothing provokes opposition like the favor, the blessing, and the prosperity of God on your life. Nothing provokes him like your calling and your anointing and your vision that you have. So the enemy, he doesn't not necessarily hate you. He hates the vision that you have. He hates your calling. You know, that Joseph's brothers didn't necessarily hate him. They hated his dream. How dare you dream? It's something wrong to dream. How dare you have vision? Angry. They were so angry they wanted to kill him. It provokes an enemy. I mean, when my wife and myself planted the church that we're pastoring, I'm thinking, we just want to plant a church, we want to preach the gospel, we want to have a place where we worship Jesus, and all hell breaks loose. I think all I'm doing is preaching. Why is the devil so angry? Because of the anointing, because of the calling. Every time our church has transitioned into another location, opposition, problems. Amen. I remember once when we moved into a new facility, two months before, little problems and a couple of families left the church. And then you go into this into new facility and the devil starts working in your head. How are you going to do it now? Amen. How are you going to do it now? That's just the devil trying to intimidate. That's just the devil trying to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. We're going to do it now with God's help. Hallelujah. We're going to do it now with God's anointing, with God's power, with God's provision. Praise God. Every time you do something, the devil comes out. And he uses people. He will use problems. He will use pain. And he will use pressure. Opposition comes in the form of people, problems, pain, and pressure. People will come out of the woodworks. People will come against you. And it's not them. It's the devil using people, using their words, using their gossips, using their perspective. He'll use people to rub us up the wrong way. Hello? He'll use people. He'll use problems. He'll bring problems to you. And he'll use those problems to try to discourage you, to try to cause you to throw in the towel. Problems. He'll use pain. Maybe right now you're going through a season of pain. There's pain in your life. And he'll use pressure. He'll put the squeeze on you through circumstances and things that happen around us. He'll use these things as vehicles to try to stop us, discourage us, intimidate us, and ultimately try to silence us and cause us to give up on God. But we can say like Joseph this morning, church. We can say like Joseph said at the end of his story. He said, what the devil used and meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. Hallelujah. What the devil used for evil. See, the devil uses people. The devil uses problems. The devil uses pain. The devil uses pressure. But get this. But God also allows those things to happen in our life. And God uses these things to make us better, to make us stronger, to develop us, to mature us. See, so the devil, he's not that smart. He thinks he's smart and we give him too much credit. So he throws a person at you. He'll throw a problem at you. He'll throw pain at you. He'll throw pressure at you. And that's him trying to stop you. But if you understand what's really going on, if you know you have God's promise, if you know you have God's anointing and God's calling and you are fulfilling vision, you can actually use those very things as a stepping stone to your promotion. Hallelujah. You can use those things as a vehicle to get you where you need to be. So I think at the end of Joseph's life, he understood it. Yeah, Potiphar's wife, yes, the devil used her to try to stop me. But hey, she was used also to get me to the prison.
That's right.
So maybe he wanted to go and get a thank you letter and send her a thank you card. Thank you very much for falsely accusing me. It hurt in the moment. It was embarrassing. But hey, that was part of the process.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. That was part of the process. He got it. His brothers sold him into slavery. And at the end of his life, he goes, hey, relax, guys. It's okay. It wasn't you. That was all part of God's plan. Because I understood it. Now, if he allows those things to get into him, and to cause him to stop, well, then the devil's purpose and plans are successful. So we need to be like Joseph. And we need to say, you know what? I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to have a good posture. I'm going to continue praising God. There's opposition. There are battles. There are enemies. There are haters. Yes. There are people. There is pain. There is pressure. There are problems. Yes. But my God is able. Hallelujah. My God is in charge. My God is in control. I'm going to continue worshiping Him. I'm going to continue praising Him. I'm going to continue building what I'm building for God. I'm going to continue keeping my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to continue going to church. I'm going to continue serving God with all of my heart. I'm going to continue doing what God has called me to do. And I'm going to get through this. And Nehemiah built that wall in record time because God was with him. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Raise your hands to the heavens in this place. Thank you, Lord. Encourage us this morning. Strengthen us this morning. Maybe there are people here going through the battle of their life. Great problems, great pressure. People coming against you. Along with the great door that God has opened, there is also great opposition. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Who or what can be against us? You can laugh at the enemy and say, I know what you're up to, and I'm not going to bow the knee. I'm not going to surrender to your taunts. Actually, I'm going to increase my praise. I'm going to increase my worship. I'm going to preach even more. I'm going to continue doing what God has called me to do. I'm going to push through this. I'm going to push through this. And I'm going to come out stronger. I'm going to come out developed. I'm going to come out mature. I'm going to come out of this with an experience. And all things work together for good to them that love God. I want to say to this morning, church, keep building. Stay close. Come on, lock arms with the person beside you right now. Lock arms. Lock arms with the person beside you. Even across the aisles, just lock arms right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And just begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Rama sanda kuroboshandarama. Come on, can we just lift up our voice and just begin to push back the clouds of darkness? Push back the depression. Push back the taunts of the enemy. Come on, let's push back. Let's battle in the spirit this morning. Hallelujah. The devil is raging against your family. The devil is raging against your marriage. The devil is coming against your children. But don't lay down and don't roll over. Take the battle, for the battle is the Lord's. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon that is strategized against you shall prosper. Come on, can I hear the church just begin to pray in tongues? Come on, all over this place. Come on, push back, push back, push back, push back. No, you're not going to take my marriage. No, you're not going to take my children. No, you're not going to take my faith. No, I'm going to continue building. I'm going to continue building. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord with a song. Hallelujah.
Let's worship Jesus. Just love you, Jesus. Just love you, Jesus.
You know, what's interesting is they crucified Jesus. I mean, they crucified him. What did he do wrong as pastor? They crucified him. And as I was thinking about it, the scripture that pastor mentioned in Joseph, what the enemy meant for harm, God meant for the two words are meant. It's what the enemy purposed, God purposed for good. What they didn't know, the Pharisees, that they were bringing Jesus to his destiny. The cross was his destiny. He had to go to the cross. They didn't know they were bringing Jesus to his destiny. He had to die on the cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead in the name of Jesus. Victorious. Victorious. So in the battle, we've got a couple of choices. We can either whinge and whine and in Jesus' name. Or we can worship. Or we can worship. We can worship the Creator, the heavens of the earth, knowing that He's in control and that He will see us through by His grace and for His glory. Can I hear an amen? Father, I just thank you for your word today. What a great encouraging word for those facing battle today, for those in the midst of adversity today. I just pray that in the midst of adversity, they would get a glimpse of you, Lord God. Focus their eyes on you. See the adversity from your perspective. Father, let faith begin to rise, I pray. Let your purposes be accomplished. The enemy defeated. Be glorified, I pray, in and through our lives. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Been a great congregation today. God bless you. We'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Amen.